This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, January 4th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. First up, Northwest anarchists are under attack once again. Where are they? Is the target this time as someone with nothing to do with anarchism? Sleep, as a part of Occupy Eugene, is taking to the streets once again to demand the right of everyone everywhere to have a safe place to sleep. Isn't this the least that we can do? And Shahid Buttar with the Bill of Rights Defense Committee is back today to continue the conversation begun on Monday around things that can happen to your rights while you're sleeping. First, the weather. Mostly sunny for today, high near 46, and light east-northeast winds. Tonight, bit of patchy fog later on, otherwise increasing clouds, lows around 35. For tomorrow, 50-50 chance of rain, highs near 45, and tomorrow night, rain with a low around 37. Sunday, 50-50 chance once again, cloud. I wonder how that changes the odds if you've got 50-50 both days. Actually, they're separate statistical incidents. Anyway, we've got a high of 44, and then Sunday night, full circle, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, lows around 39, bringing us to Monday morning and the alternative forecast. This is a last quarter root moon in Virgo. It's 22 days old. The synodic forecast, not a good time to sow anything in the garden, I'll say, and how. Instead, use this time to weed and harvest if there's anything that hasn't blown away. Excellent time to start building new compost. The biodynamic forecast, moon in Virgo, that's an earth sign. It's a good time for root plants. In fact, staying under the ground is probably a great idea. The sidereal outlook, moon in Virgo, dry and barren, garden maintenance time, which means you're running all over the countryside trying to retrieve all the stuff that blew away during the last few days with the wind. And that's it for both the conventional and the alternative forecasts. Moving right into news from around Cascadia. There are rumblings all over right now. Northwest Resist Grand Jury website has not been updated. So what we are basically left with is a fairly mainstream account of strange happenings on the anarchist front. A federal judge says that a man who was accused, not convicted, of throwing a firebomb at a Portland police car could be released while still awaiting trial. A federal judge says that the man who was accused of this could be released. But one of the conditions that was set on Wednesday for Sergei Turzansky is that he have no contact or communication with anarchist groups. That's a little odd, because very often, it turns out, anarchists look much like you and I. And one could be speaking to an anarchist without realizing it. They aren't all dressed in black and carrying bombs. He's specifically ordered to have no contact with Resist, the Northwest Grand Jury. Assistant U.S. Attorney Stephen Piper says that the group is trying to obstruct an inquiry into the May Day firebombing of a federal courthouse in Seattle. Defense lawyer Patrick Eller says that Turzansky does not have a significant criminal record, and no one was injured last November when the Molotov cocktail was thrown at a parked police car. Once again, it's property damage, people. Property damage. Not the same thing as, let's say, targeted assassinations, maybe? Drone attacks, weaponized drones? No, not the same thing at all. But it nonetheless does stir the public ire at a time when few things short of a fiscal cliff stir public ire. One thing that should stir public ire but does not is this comes again from Occupy Eugene, is people who are seeing another winter with nowhere safe and warm to sleep. On December 11th of 2012, Lane County Administrator Leon Richardson closed the Wayne Morris Free Speech Plaza in Eugene, Oregon by emergency order as a response to the 24-hour sleeps protest. Richardson falsely claimed that there were public health and safety concerns. The activists who were occupying the Free Speech Plaza had been taking care of their own sanitation, and few instances where something was overlooked were remedied. A few days later, the plaza was reopened with signage stating that it was only to be kept open from then on, from 6 a.m. until 11 p.m. Sleeps was then evicted from the plaza again on December 22nd at 3 in the morning by the Eugene Police Department after setting up their protest camp the afternoon before. It's clear at this point that Lane County and the Eugene Police Department are intent on enforcing an unprecedented and unconstitutional curfew on the Wayne Morris Free Speech Plaza until further notice. These are the events which prompts Sleeps to call for a flash mob, die-off action, and guerrilla theater. The action is being done in an effort to bring attention to the ever-growing number of unhoused people who die each year in the streets and parks of Eugene, Oregon, and of course, as we know, around the country. We have tried to reach someone with Occupy Eugene. I'm going to post all of the rest of the information. There's a lot of things going on. And this is street theater writ large. And it's something perhaps worth the drive down to Eugene to have a look at and participate in. Because really, enough is enough. This is a very, very wealthy country. There is no reason for anyone to have to sleep outside, to go to be cold. We see pictures in the mainstream media of Afghan refugees, the front page of the New York Times, and yet we do nothing here. We're going to go now to speak again. We're very, very fortunate to have Shahid Buttar back with us with the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, returning to continue the conversation that we began earlier this week on unconstitutional surveillance powers that were written into our law books while we were all focusing on the fiscal cliff, which seemed right from the get-go to be this holiday season's red herring. Good morning, Shahid. Thanks for being back with us today.
Thanks so much for having me on, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
We began a conversation, and it's absolutely vital to continue that conversation because many people missed it. Something huge happened on December 28th. The Senate overwhelmingly authorized the extension of warrantless domestic mass wiretapping for another 5 years. Can you take up where we left off and talk about some of the ramifications of the passage of this egregious piece of legislation?
Absolutely. FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which was first enacted in the 1970s to stop domestic spying, was basically rewritten in 2008 to permit precisely what it had originally been written to prohibit, and that is mass warrantless domestic wiretapping, this time around by the NSA, the National Security Agency. It is worth noting that your senators, both of them, Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley, were essentially leading the resistance to this reauthorization, and it is profoundly disturbing that they did not receive more support from their colleagues in the Senate. Senator Wyden has been leading the charge to restore Fourth Amendment protections against unwarranted domestic surveillance, and Senator Merkley joined that struggle in the last round. Both of the senators from Washington State and both of the senators from Alaska, including a Republican, were also on that side of the resistance. I think it's worth noting that the allies of the Constitution in the Senate include senators from each of the political parties. It's particularly strange to see Republicans on the leading edge of the struggle to restore rights and liberties now that it is a Democratic president who is unfortunately in the position of abusing them so dramatically.
And we see... What are some of the things, what are some of the changes that this piece of legislation will bring about? Can you give us an example of what's likely to occur?
The changes all depend on which baseline you're talking about. So if you want to ask, you know, what has the change been since the law was originally written, it now allows, for instance, bulk collection. So the NSA can monitor many people at once, and we know it does that. It also permits telecom companies, as telecommunications corporations that make hand over fist enabling and facilitating this government surveillance, are immune from private lawsuits challenging their abuses of constitutional rights. Unfortunately, what changed most recently was basically nothing. The law, when it was first written in 2008 to permit this mass wiretapping, at the time had a deadline. It said you have to wrap this up by the end of 2012. And so what just happened was merely an extension of the illegitimate law that was already passed 4 years ago. But here's what's important. In the meantime, nothing has changed. When he went into the White House, President Obama publicly wrote that as president, he would rein this program in. He would subject it to checks and balances. None of that has happened. And when Senator Wyden, to his credit, asked the NSA to tell Congress how many Americans have been illegally monitored, what he heard was that, okay, we know there's been illegal monitoring, but that's all he heard. Nobody knows how many people have been impacted. Nobody knows if it continues or has it been changed in some way. Nobody knows if anything will be different, but in spite of that, and nobody even knows what we spend on this program, how many billions of dollars are skimmed off the top of the federal budget that is supposedly in crisis to abuse our rights. And in spite of all of these unanswered questions, Congress gave the NSA a blank check to do it for five more years anyway. And I would just say that if any of us did our jobs as poorly as our members of Congress, with the notable exception of your state senators, we would all be out of work. And I do think that the rest of Senator Wyden's and Senator Merkley's colleagues could learn a lot from those two.
Before you go, one other important question that has been overlooked across the board is this information. Once it is collected, they are able to keep it for an extraordinarily, 90 days. They are able to keep it.
Decades. They can keep it for decades. That's the plan. The Utah Data Center aims to compile a single record of all digital communications sent anywhere so that the NSA can basically retroactively crack encrypted communications so that they can put together trends. And, you know, there are lots of different ways to look at this. One of the ones that are most disturbing, and people don't quite understand this, it's not like there's an NSA person sitting by the phone listening to everything that you or I say to each other. But they archive it all. And so when there is any reason to suspect, not that someone's done anything wrong, for instance, but perhaps that they're a dissident or they're involved in some movement that the government doesn't like, they can go back and retrieve anything you've ever said to anyone.
Anarchists, for example.
That is the plan.
And the other thing, too, is this information is, of course, shared liberally with government agencies, but it also is made accessible to the private sector in various ways, I believe. Is that correct?
Well, so the private sector is engaged in collecting much of this data. Whether or not the private sector has access to it, we know that that's been a problem with fusion centers, which are funded separately by the Department of Homeland Security. Whether or not the private corporations are able to gain access to NSA's data, chalk that up to yet another thing that we don't know enough about. That it would be really great to see someone from Congress or, you know, God forbid, a federal court actually do their job to figure out the answer to these questions instead of just assuming that there's nothing to see here. We can all move along and march into our totalitarian future.
It leaves a person speechless, and maybe speechless is the way a person should be, considering the power of this law. What efforts have been made? The Bill of Rights Defense Committee, of course, leads the charge, but what efforts are underway right now to roll this back or address some of the problems?
These issues? Yeah. The key to remember at the moment is that unless we the people make a stink, this law will survive into the next administration, regardless of who wins the White House next. This will never cross the president's desk again unless we force it to the top of the congressional agenda. And the only way for that to happen over the course of the next 5 years is for we the people to do what we've always done before, and that is to organize resistance. That is how we've gained everything from the weekend to women's suffrage to freedom from slavery. right? It is we the people coming together across our communities, across different races, across different political ideologies to build coalitions to make these objects of debate. And I do want to make the point that while the NSA is governed only by Congress and the Pentagon, there are other agencies that are also involved in spying on Americans, and many of them are not federal. They are state and they are local. The Joint Terrorism Task Forces that were very controversial, for instance, in Portland, to a greater degree than any other city in the entire country 10 years ago, are every day abusing the rights of law-abiding Americans. Fusion centers, which there are 77 of them around the country, and there is one in Oregon, abuse the rights of Americans. Every day, we don't have to go to Congress to fix those problems. And if we come together to build local coalitions to challenge those agencies, we can build the echo chamber to change the federal debate. And I do just want to briefly invite any of your listeners who are concerned about these issues, any of your listeners who want to protect their rights, to reach out to us at the Bill of Rights Defense Committee at organizing@bordc.org. We are standing by, and all we do is work with grassroots activists to build coalitions and change the debate.
Thank you so much for that, Shahid, but we are so glad that you're able to be back with us today. Of course, we've been speaking with Shahid Buttar, the Executive Director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. This has been at Cascadia for Friday, January 4th, 2012. Kathleen Stevenson engineered the show today, and Kathleen, of course, is the KBOAM News and Public Affairs Director. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints, we discuss news that after NATO forces withdraw from Afghanistan, thousands of U.S. troops will have to stay there to prop up the government. Then we focus on two acts recently signed into law by President Obama that directly affect all of our civil liberties. Next, we talk about global nuclear power plants, and finally, we continue our coverage.